One of the artists I really enjoy talking to when I visit the festivals is the one and only, the brilliant songwriter, Jerry Colvin. He's a great character and he's always happy to see us at folkin.com. Always happy he comes marching up to us, always happy to have a chat to us. And I count him as one of my friends now. And he's a great person to sit down and talk about songwriting, what he's up to and where he's going at the moment. I caught up with Jerry in the artist garden with the wonderful and immensely talented Trish Power, who plays in the Jerry Colvin band at the moment on accordion and backing vocals. And it was a great chat. Here's what we had to say. Hi, and welcome to another Folkin.com downloadable interview with me, Paul Johnson, or a little mini podcast, as we call them these days. Used to be downloadable interviews, audio interviews, now we just call them podcast. Everybody's got a blooming podcast, haven't they? And I've wandered around the New Forest Folk Festival, largely due to having too many beers too early. And I came across a tent in the forest, a right tent in the forest, with the beautiful, soothing tones of a man I know well now. It's Jerry Colvin.
Hi there. Really, really a pleasure.
It's lovely to talk to you. And Trish Power, the accordion player. What a great name.
It is, isn't it? Hiya. Hi.
It's like, you know, Trish Power.
She's got the best name in folk music, isn't it? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's just brilliant. You should be.
Irish. It's an Irish power.
You should be playing with Metallica or something. I loved your set last night on the main stage. As always, the whole crowd singing along with you, you know, feeling the love from you. You know, you're very good at that, aren't you? You know, you get so excited about things.
I'm so surprised that I know it happens quite regularly, but I'm still stunned when and it started off with me and Nick Cornby, my old musical partner, the brilliant Nick, where I'd do that just to see if people were actually listening at the back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't kind of an affectation or something, but I was stunned. I mean, someone said, the organiser of this fantastic New Forest Folk Festival, said that he hadn't seen a band this weekend that had everybody's hands up, even the people who were selling burgers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was amazing. And I'll tell you what I found quite excellent. I fancied fish and chips last night, right? So my wife went down to the fish and chip shop. We'll talk about music in a minute. This is another thing. This happens with our interviews. We wander off the subject. We'll come back to it in a minute. And she came back with this, like, disc thing.
Yeah.
Right, with lights on it. And I said, what's that? What you found? She said, it'll buzz when your dinner's ready.
I know.
How's that for a bit of tech?
Technology,
eh? It's amazing.
I've seen quite a few of those lurking
around. It was brilliant. It was great to see you last night. Your music, you're so busy as well. Because have you got a new record company or something? Because you seem to be, like, really busy.
Very, very pleased. Crocodile Records. It's a small rockabilly label, funnily enough. Malcolm, who runs Crocodile, came to see us and was like bowled over. And I said, "Well, you're a rockabilly label, and you know." And he went, "No, love it." So they put a retrospective album out with a remix of Johnny Cash Shirt, featuring Billy Jay, a fantastic harmonica player, and several other songs, some new, some old. It's like, I think it's 15 tracks on it, which is downloadable from Spotify and all those things. And then he said, well, I really like this, why don't we do the next two albums? And we got two coming out in November. So, so they're all going to be on Crocodile, and they're going to be hard copies. This one isn't, because it's retrospective stuff, but the other two will be hard copies. I'll send you one.
Oh, lovely, thank you, yeah. And you've got your wind-up, fully functional wind-up mechanism album still out there, isn't it? That was still going well with that.
It's great, yeah. Surprisingly enough, it is.
and you've added to your band a little bit, because you've got the wonderful Trish Power here on accordion now. I nearly called it a squeeze box. I know that's an insult.
It's a piano accordion.
It's a piano accordion. You make a really good difference to the whole sound, actually. It's a lovely feel. It's almost, you know, when I hear that kind of that sort of piano accordion, that sort of thing, it all feels a little bit French.
It does.
Yeah, well, I kind of play with a French accordion.
Yeah, it is kind of like, gives it that little bit of look, the French, and adds to the atmosphere, because what I love about your stuff, obviously, is it's very atmospheric. You know, all your songs, I mean... Your guitar's got more notes than mine, anyway. But you know, your songs, even going back to that wonderful one about the car, stealing the cars, the Ford Escort one. Do you remember that song?
Oh,
you
my gosh, that was years ago.
I remember
ago.
It so well, though, because who the hell writes a song about a stolen Ford Escort? Only Jerry Colvin.
There is no rhyme for Ford Escort. It's strange, isn't it? I mean, the best thing about this band, I mean, Lyndon Webb on guitar is fantastic. Jerome Davis is like the best double bass player I've ever heard. He's played with loads of jazzers. Jerome's background is jazz. Lyndon's background is rock. Yeah. And Trish's background is classical piano. So, but the combination of how it all comes together with my little songs, yeah. Suddenly you've got this kind of unusual folk. It's yeah. really unusual. I mean, Trish, her accordion is more like a horn section or a piano part.
It is, I noticed.
Than a traditional piano accordion.
It's a very full sound, isn't it?
It is.
It's almost like my mandolin player in my band plays accordion on two of our songs, and he puts this thing on, and Pat's strapping his chest organ on. But they do. They have this way of feeling out the sound, don't
yeah.
they?
Well, I think the songs are so standalone. All I'm there is just to embellish or swell out or, you know, with the words. Like today, I was like thinking, I thought to really cut a nice emotive bit. So just swell the bellows a little bit and pull it out and bring it in and just sort of, it really is embellishing.
What? That was the thing. It was grippingly sort of mesmeric, really, in a way. Yeah.
Totally organised, but
what I love about the Jerry Colvin band, why I enjoy it so much, is because I can now write for the double bass,
yeah,
and write for the accordion, so and that changes your songwriting a bit because you're kind of you think, oh, you know, that accordion can sound quite lamentable, so it kind of suggests a kind of sadder song or whatever, or upbeat or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And particularly double bass, House of the Setting Sun that we did yesterday, I took a risk, just me and a double bass. But I wrote it for Nick Cornby, and it was going to be me singing and him playing bass,
yeah,
and he
yeah.
didn't want to do it.
No,
because he was such a brilliant bloke.
Yeah.
He didn't want to kind of be up in the forefront,
yeah.
But I'd written it for a double bass, and so this, when Jerome joined the band, it was the first time we were able to do it the way that I had it in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's really unusual. Well, you must know that in your band,
exactly,
you write for
what you've got. Yeah. You do. I always have this thing in like where Pat's got this wonderful instrument, which is called an Algerian mandole.
Oh God,
it's a ridiculous thing. And there's a story we
sounds
tell.
Like a curry.
It does a bit. Yeah. It's a story we tell about. I tell about it being rescued from a Russian dictator, and Pat went over to Russia. He brought the mandole back, and then the Russian Federations came looking for him and found him in Gravesend where he lives, but he beat them all up and got his mandole back and sent them all backpacking, so we've still got the mandole here on stage with us tonight, and the story changes every gig we do. But this thing is like, it's like a great big oversized mandola, and he's put a Fender Stratocaster pickup in it.
Wow.
And it sounds so warm. Wow. You know, it's dull, and it's got this beautiful warm sound. And it makes you think, oh, hang on a minute, I've got a song in mind, like you were saying, and that would be lovely, a bit of the Algerian mandole in that song. And I suppose the same having Trish in the band, it makes you think a little bit.
And Lyndon playing the mandolin, suddenly it kind of broadens the thing. I mean, I love writing songs. Yeah. I love having people to, you know, write with, like write for,
yeah.
Like Marion Fleetwood. I wrote a song called Dylan Thomas's Pen specifically because she played the violin.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you have a kind of, and Alan Breck, the Heather and the Rose, yeah. wrote for you because
yeah.
I thought this is going to be great.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do anything.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah, because you are really prolific. How do you sleep at night, or do you just write songs all night?
Well, last night I was in the car. I was sleeping in the car.
Does churn them out so quickly.
Yeah, look, 99% of them are pretty poor.
No, but it's amazing.
Makes
you know.
The set list really hard to write.
Yes.
And you must have the same problem.
Yeah,
you think, oh no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Particularly a festival, because you've got that hour and 10 minute slot.
Yeah.
And you can't do the same act as you would if you were in a folk club or, you know, a theatre. So it's really difficult. I've sweated over the set list from yesterday, and You know, my wife said, oh, you can't do House of the Setting Sun, not to 5,000 people. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And I thought, let's have a gamble, you know, because you've got to take a chance, haven't you?
It worked, because it was like so atmospheric.
Like yours. I like them. They've got attitude and energy and
spirit.
Take a chance.
Yeah.
Don't play safe.
That's
we
right.
Did, we did three completely different set lists last year at Ely Folk Festival. So we did 3 hours of completely. And actually, people came up to me and said, we saw you at Ely. You did 3 completely different sets.
I know, isn't it amazing?
It was such fun, though. But it was such fun playing 3 different set lists. It really felt... Because they're all slightly different.
Oh, very different.
Headspacey.
This was... playing The Fringe at the New Forest Folk Festival was great because we kind of revisited songs that... Well, I haven't played for like 20 years or 10 years. And I really liked that. It was like, oh, actually, I'd forgotten about that song. Let's do that, you know?
It was a lovely thing to see because when you're on the stage out there with 5,000 people doing your stuff, it's lovely and everyone's yawning. But what I also like is the personal, like this small tent we was in today.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there with just your guitar, you're there, you know.
But you know what folk audiences are like. Yeah. It's almost like family, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's not, I mean, everyone's together, aren't they? Everyone goes to the bar together.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, and it's, and that's why I love folk. I mean, your band is the same, isn't it? There's no one that thinks they're going to be famous.
No, we just do it for communicating and loving it.
You can't stop doing it.
Exactly, yeah.
And if it makes people happy, then I'm just elated. I can't believe it.
It's a brilliant attitude to have because it's lovely to play to 5,000.
We're all broke, though.
Yeah, that's why we've got no money. That's why we're all nervous, old crockety. You've probably played gigs where there's 5 people in the audience. And then there's 5,000. But if one of them comes up to you and says, I really like that song you did, happy days, isn't it?
It's
That's
brilliant.
What it's all about. You know?
We went to Holland and we used to go to the Netherlands we used to go twice a year, but we went last year and we played to like 150 people the first night, 50 people the next night, 200 the next night, and then 4.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious because... We sold 4 CDs to the audience that was 4, so that's 100% of the audience bought a CD. And the promoter, she was so upset, wasn't she? And
we didn't get to see a lot of Holland because it was a long way away.
Yeah, we went miles and miles, but it's unfathomable, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you're right, if people enjoy it. You know, it doesn't matter how many people are there, does it?
That's right, and also, you know, we've got a weird name, we're called Shinaki, so if you play, you know, I'm going to send you my stuff as well. But I'm sitting there sometimes and I'm thinking, well, who the hell, you know, if there's 10 people in the audience but they've all come to see Shinaki, they're going to go away and say, oh, I saw this weird band called Shinaki, they were quite cranked up, punky folk, and then they'll tell another 10 people, and that's how it works, you know, how it works.
Yeah, I think you have to play.
Yeah.
Irrespective of how many people are here, you have to play as if you're playing to 5,000 people, don't you? And be intimate.
Yes, absolutely.
And we tried to do that yesterday, tried to be intimate with
it worked.
The huge crowd, and that works. And I think people realise that we really want them to have a good time, and that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was lovely to see them all joining in with your songs, you know.
I love it when people come up and say, I've never heard of you before. I've never seen you before. Are you famous? And you go, not really.
No.
But I love that because they obviously kind of just came across us. So they were obviously waiting for the Oysters to come on, who were fantastic.
Yeah, they were good.
And, you know, we'll get our spot. Oh, actually, I quite like this.
I loved it when you did one of the new songs. You said we went through it in the toilet before we played it.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Actually, we did.
I do lots of writing in the toilet.
Yeah.
We did a song in America that you wrote on the plane.
Yep.
In the toilet.
Just the two of us.
Isn't it funny? It does that, doesn't it?
Just the two of us. And performed it to, I don't know, 2,000 people.
I love it, though. Yeah. I mean, I tell you what that was. That was the flush.
Yeah.
You know the strange flush you got in the...
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's a good sound. So I wrote this song called My Country, which ironically is on our downloadable record from Crocodile Records, Johnny Cash Shirt.
Johnny Cash Shirt,
it's on there.
That
was great, though. Yeah. I like to do that every time we go somewhere, like the Netherlands or America. We used to go to America a lot. I like to write a song, a new song, just for that that trip.
Yeah. So anybody following you around in the Netherlands watching you going to toilets, they know you're writing a song.
Absolutely.
Where's Jerry going now? So in the loo, he's probably writing another song in there.
But strangely enough, I love it because they taught us how to say one more week in Dutch. Nog een week. Nog een week, een fotolijst. That's empty picture frame.
Every day's a learning curve, isn't it?
I've known Jerry for a long time, with Glastonbury in 95. And I was thinking about you. I was thinking about Jerry. The thing about you is you have never lost your enthusiasm.
No. I haven't grown up yet.
But every time, and it doesn't matter. I can honestly say this, Jerry. I was thinking about every gig we do, it doesn't matter if there's three people there.
Yeah.
Or you're going, this is great. Yeah. This is great.
I know.
Every gig, and like we might be a little bit, we've just driven 100 miles or whatever, four people here. But you're like, this is great. Come on, look, come on. That's awesome.
Exactly right. You know, when I first saw you.
That is genuine. That is
I've got a second that, Trish, because when I first saw you, I don't know where it was, I can't remember, I was with Darren, we were drunk somewhere, probably at some strange festival or something. I was watching the energy on stage and how excited you get and how you was reacting with the audience, like running around. And I think on that particular occasion, you was like, running out there going, this is fantastic, thank you. And you was waving your arms about. And I said to Darren, that's a great act like that. I said, is he always like that or is that just on stage? He said, no, he's like that all the time.
Must have been a long time because I can't run around anymore.
And we came off stage and he was in the bar or something. He was doing exactly the same. I said, bloody hell, he is like that all the time.
So. Yeah, I've been like that since I was little. That's why my dad bought me a hobby horse so I could hold on to something and stand dead still.
And it's amazing to see. I'll keep doing it.
We are so fortunate, aren't we? Oh, God. Us lot in bands. Yeah. I mean, we are absolutely the luckiest people in the world. Yeah. You know, we play a gig.
Yeah.
I mean, just to play a gig is a step, isn't it?
It's a privilege.
But to play more than one gig,
yeah,
and to play a festival and to be able to travel with it and be able to entertain people from different cultures and different backgrounds. I mean, we went to Germany when we went to the Netherlands last year, and we did a song about the Mittelbauer Durhau faction.
Beautiful song, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Cheese is very poignant in that song.
Oh, it is.
I never forget the lump of cheese in that song.
You know, it's a very contentious thing to sing in Germany, but the promoter said, that's why I booked you, because you've got to sing that song. And it was the one that went down the best. It was magical.
Standing ovations.
But
when you hit a nerve like that, it's good, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, and subject matter is so important. You know, because you've got to look at the world kind of slightly sideways, haven't you?
Absolutely.
As a songwriter, you know that.
Yeah.
If you look at it dead straight, then you write, I love you, baby, why did you leave me? But if you look on the other side,
We've got this poppy punk song that I wrote called Just Another Worker. and it goes well quite nicely because when you communicate with them, it says, anybody in a job they hate, you know, you come out tonight, you're having a lovely time dancing and singing, but you know, you've got to kind of work and you hate your job. Anybody, somebody hates their job.
Oh, yeah.
And this song's all that, and the lyrics are in there, like, you know, offered me promotion, I told her to stick it up your ass and things like that. It's a really melodic, poppy song. You know, and at the end of it, they love it. You know, it's like, they felt what you were saying, you know, they felt, and that's what.
It's got to relate, it's got to be relatable, doesn't it? And that's why I'm slightly anti singing about mining disasters from the 18th century or shipwrecks in a kind of literal way, because I don't know anything about that. I don't know what those people felt. I know it was hard, and I'd rather chronicle modern day history.
Yeah.
And that's what folk is, isn't it? That's
Absolutely.
What it should be.
It goes on. It's a living tradition, isn't it?
It is a tradition that should carry on.
Yeah. Well, let's hope we can keep carrying on.
Thanks.
So tell me what you got out. You got the new album, the shirt, Elvis's
Johnny Cash's shirt. Which is downloadable from Crocodile Music. All platforms.
Yep.
And in November, we've got Past, Present and Crescent.
That's the Christmas one?
No, the Christmas one is called The Last Christmas Needle.
Oh, that one you played tonight. Yeah. Beautiful song. Did you write that as well?
Yeah. I never do anything.
Oh, man, it makes me so jealous.
I can't do anyone else's.
It's a beautiful song.
I'm not good enough to sing anybody else's songs, so I have to write my own.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. So when you get the album out, please pass it to us.
Of course I will.
And I'll do an album review as well. I've got one in my bag ready to do for you, so I'll let you know when it is. Jerry, thanks for talking to us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And Trish, thank you so much as well.
Thank you, thank you very much.
May we have a photo?
Yeah, let's have a photo together. Yes, thanks very much. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Is that all right?
Ah, the lovely Jerry Colvin. to Trish Power there. You can find out more about any albums that are being reviewed on our audio album review section on folkin.com. Next up, I'm talking to the up-and-coming talent, which is the lovely Katie Spencer.